This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Calling Grass Nation. We are conducting an audience survey at gum.fm/touchgrass. And we want to hear from you so that we can keep making content you love.
You know this. We know this. There are ads on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that experience. But in order to do so, we need to know a little bit more about you, our audience. This survey is quick, easy, and a free way to support this podcast. It'll take 2 minutes and you'll be helping us out so much by doing it.
Yes. So go to gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our audience survey. That's gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our survey. Thank you for using your precious time online to help us with our podcast.
We love you.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart Family Cards. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are, so you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or whether you should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart, and then share the meals in the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
You got mail.
Hi, I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaris.
And this is
Go Touch Grass,
the podcast where we log in
so you can log off.
Millie and I are two chronically online comedians, and on every episode of the pod, we'll be breaking down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you don't have to.
And if you like what you hear today and want to hear more, we got a Go Touch Grass Patreon with all our test episodes, mini trending topics, a weekly newsletter that is really good, if I do say so for myself, and our spinoff series, Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past.
And don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review, because it really helps people find the show.
Please.
Okay. Housekeeping out of the way.
Housekeeping out of the way. It's a wintry mix outside.
It is. We're coming at you from New York, where there's a wintry mix.
That's the best way to describe it sometimes.
It is. Like, and like I was saying, this is the type of weather where I spend every moment outside deeply petrified that I'm going to slip and fall and crack my head.
Yeah, black ice.
And die.
I mean, same. There's no way you can be sexy. You're walking up the stairs. It's gross. I'm sweating, I smell, it's just a lot.
I'm in the same place, sweaty, smelly, gross, afraid of death. Anyway, so to start us off today, Millie, I have less of a game, more of an update with some gaming elements.
Okay.
So as of this recording, like we said, it's a wintry mix. We're 16 days into the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Selena Gomez has gone on her first social media break.
Has she? I'm like, she's threatened a lot.
So, on Tuesday, January 9th, which was one day after we recorded our last episode.
Always happens. Like that.
You know, Selena, she's clearly listening because she did log off. We didn't say for how long.
Okay.
She knows that she was the grasshole because she did log off. But last week, she posted on social media that she's going off social for a while, focusing on what matters. This was on Tuesday, January 9th. Millie, how long do we think Selena Gomez's first social media break of 2024 lasted?
I would say under 24 hours.
You are exactly right. It lasted for 18 hours.
Okay.
On Wednesday, January 10th, Selena Gomez returned to Instagram to post a collaborative video with Gordon Ramsay.
Okay. I mean, that could be our social media manager. I've also heard rumors that, like, and, like, people have tweeted this, that, like, maybe Selena Gomez thinks that a social media break is when you turn off the app. Like, when you close the app, that's a social media break.
I feel like there is confusion with her as to what a social media break is. Because for me personally, if I was going to announce I'm off social, I would make sure I don't have a scheduled post to go up the next day within 24 hours. Or, and this is wild, I would just not be on social and not say anything.
Yeah,
and allow my social media manager to post my collabs or whatever, but I'm actually, it's not me, and I'm protecting my peace quietly.
Well, the thing about Selena is that she's commenting. It's not that she's posting a lot, which she is also, but it's also that she's commenting on like E! News posts. Yes. About her.
Yeah.
She's like, she doesn't need to be doing that.
Which is why she was our first free grass feed grasshole.
Yeah.
So I do want to take this moment to say that I will be taking a social media break from roughly 11 p.m. tonight to like 8 a.m. tomorrow morning.
But that's when you sleep.
Yes. That's my, I won't be posting. I won't be interacting because I'll be taking a social media break.
I'll be taking a social media break between the hours of 7 to 11 today, and that's when I will be watching TV and be playing Royal Match, which is a game on my phone that's like a really complicated Candy Crush type thing that I'm on level 117.
Wow.
It gets to a level 1,000. It's really crazy, but...
Yeah, so you're focusing on what matters, just mm-hmm, like Selena. Mm-hmm, 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 and mm-hmm. We're not going to be online for those times. So we're taking
social media breaks for a few hours. Yes.
So my question for you before we get into the discourse. So like I said, this is Selena's first social media break of 2024. Mm-hmm. How many more times, this is a prediction, and then... If one of us is right, we can play the tape at the end of the year. Wow. One calendar year from now.
Wow.
How many social media breaks do you think Selena Gomez will take in 2024?
I'm going to say three. I think she has three more. Because she's done like four in the past, right?
Yes. And I also had in my mind three. Mm-hmm. And I'll say that I'll get even more specific with my prediction. I think because she was kind of roundly roasted for this one. So I think there will be a long gap between now and her next social media break. Mm-hmm. And then she'll do one right after the other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It'll be like, we'll wait until the fall and then she'll go on two social media breaks consecutively. Yeah, yeah. That's my guess.
I think I also agree. We're in alignment. So.
We are in alignment.
Yeah.
Save this clip.
Watch
this space, and 1 year from now, we will see if our prediction comes true. I feel confident about this prediction.
I do too. I feel like she can help herself. She's super online, this is why she's the number three most followed person in the world, most followed woman in the world. Mm-hmm. She can help herself. She loves online, but she also doesn't like the drama. And unfortunately, those are two characteristics that don't go together.
Yeah, they don't mesh well. And I do feel, because part of me, I was thinking about it and I was like, will she maybe just stop announcing that she's going on a social media break? But I don't think so. I think that she feels compelled to announce that she's going on a social media break, and that compulsion is more than her desire to not be roasted.
Because I'm just thinking about somebody who has a lot of, like a Cardi B, who's probably around the same age, if not younger than Selena. And she has a very, but like, I feel like she's calmed down. Like, I haven't really seen a bunch of lives and posting, like, you know what I mean? Like, quietly take a step back and show whatever, but the thing is, she doesn't announce that she's leaving.
Yeah.
She's quietly taking a step back and probably focusing on what matters, which is divorcing Offset for being a terrible cheater.
I'm focusing on what matters.
Yeah.
Which I'm focusing on my fucking matters, divorce.
But yeah, like... she needs a full fledged divorce immediately. And but like that's somebody who stands on business.
You saying that made me realize I have absolutely no idea how old Cardi B is.
Cardi and she could B be is any under age. 30.
What?
Yeah.
I have to Google this right now because that is crazy.
She's under 30.
She's so wise.
Yeah, no. I mean, a hood 26 is a non-hood 32.
She's 31.
She's 31. So I was close.
You were close. You were close.
And how old is Selena? Selena's like 33 or 34, no? Maybe she's 31 too. I can't.
Yeah, I'm like, are they the same age? Because, wow, they're giving very, very different behavior.
But, you know, again, Selena.
They are the same age.
Actually,
they are the same age.
Look at birth month, actually, because now I'm curious.
Okay. Selena Gomez, born in July 1992. Cardi B, October. So we have a Leo versus... Is October a Libra?
But what day?
Cardi B is squarely a Libra, and Selena is actually a cusp.
Wow. Cancer Leo cusp.
It's the other way.
Oh, Leo Virgo cusp?
Leo Virgo cusp.
Wow.
Really interesting. Wait,
if her birthday's in July.
July 22nd. So
no, she's Cancer Leo cusp like your girl Millie.
But Cancer is June
to
July. No,
Cancer is July 21st. July 22nd is Cancer. Cancer ends July 22nd.
Oh.
Leo starts July, you know.
Yes.
That's... So she's Cancer Leo.
No,
cusp.
Cancer's June.
June to July 22nd.
July 22nd. So she is July 22nd, which means she
is
the...
It's first 9 days and last 9 days.
If she's July 22nd, that means she's the cusp the opposite way.
Oh, I thought it was the other way.
No, for you now to be a Cancer Leo cusp, you would be June 21st.
Oh, I heard it was the first last day. Because I'm July 21st, and now we're getting granular
now
about
we're getting,
science.
Yeah, now we're getting granular. You know what?
I feel like I'm a Cancer Leo cusp, and so is Selena, but we can look up the math.
Yeah, okay. We'll move on from science. This isn't an astrology podcast. This isn't a math podcast, and it's not an astrology podcast.
It's not a stars podcast. I will say, though, yeah, but the point is, Selena Gomez is older than Cardi B, and she's been in the industry longer than Cardi B.
Yeah, that is definitely true, because she goes back to the Disney days. But I also wonder if maybe that's why she feels like she has to be so... online.
Maybe. We'll see.
I wonder.
Well, Elise.
Speaking of little girls.
Yeah, let's get into the Disney discourse.
Speaking of tweens, let's get into the discourse, because today's discourse, this is something that has been very much taking over my FYP, and I've been seeing a lot of discourse. The discourse is discoursing on this topic, which is little girls at Sephora tweens. Has this been coming up on your FYP?
I've seen some stuff, but we've talked about it. We have different FYPs.
Exactly. So very interesting, because this is something that I didn't even seek out, because I haven't gone to a brick and mortar Sephora in a very, very long time. And I wouldn't say, I consume some makeup content, but I wouldn't say that's like the majority of my content. But for whatever reason, TikTok is saying, you want to hear about these Sephora tweens. And I kind of do. So
yeah, I consume makeup content, but it's like people are doing complicated looks.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm not really like the tweens. I know that we're talking about it, but they're not giving the eyeshadow and the contour that I like. They're still, even the most advanced ones are still beginners to me.
Yeah. Well, they're also, I think, very much more into that like clean skin care aesthetic. So let's dive into this.
Yeah.
So basically, this discourse all began like kind of around Christmas time when a TikToker named Chloe, she's at Chloe Van Burke on TikTok. She has a little more than 12,000 followers. She basically took to TikTok to ask if anyone else has noticed that Sephora and Ulta, but she's talking specifically about Sephora in this, has become overrun with tween girls buying very expensive skincare products and just kind of wreaking havoc. So I'm going to play this video so you can see where the discourse began.
Has anyone else noticed that, like, every time you go into Sephora now, it's just all little girls? And I have never seen it to this extent. I don't know if I wasn't paying attention, but I just don't remember any beauty stores ever being like this before. Like, literally the other day, I was at a mall by my house and I went in to just grab, I think, nail polish. And I get in line. It was a pretty long line because, you know, everyone's returning stuff after Christmas. And there was this cute little girl with her mom. She must have been, I don't know, like maybe seven. Like, she was so tiny, so adorable. And I hear her start yelling at her mom. And I mean, I'm not trying to eavesdrop, but like, they were being kind of loud and they were right in front of me. And so I'm listening to what she's yelling at her mom about. And her mom told her that she could only get one kind of concealer. Meanwhile, this little girl does not have a single blemish. I don't even think her pores have opened yet. She literally doesn't have a single pimple, under eye bags, nothing. And her mom's like, they're getting concealer for her. And she was literally upset that she couldn't get more than one concealer. I don't know if this is like everywhere lately, but I swear every time I go into these expensive makeup stores, it's just all really young little girls, which is really upsetting to see.
Okay, so that's the general gist of what she said. And basically this spawned a huge conversation. So like probably a couple hundred other TikTokers, have added to this conversation. Another TikToker, Megan Lacey, who's at MeganLacey19, also went viral detailing her experience at a Sephora where she said like 10 to 13 year old girls are taking up every single section of the store. A group of girls was like surrounding an employee demanding information about skincare products. And basically like where the conversation has kind of gone is, number one, these girls are they take over the store in kind of like an intense way that mm-hmm. tween girls can. Mm-hmm. And then number two, a bunch of like Sephora and Ulta employees have weighed in and they're saying, number one, like the kids are rude. They are crazy with the testers. So I'll show you a video of that in a second. But they will like absolutely wreck all the testers. One lady like posted a video being like, these girls came in, they didn't have enough money, they tried to give me a bunch of quarters. And it's just like creating a chaotic, I guess, environment yeah. in the Sephora. And so according to these employees, the favorite brands of these tweens are Drunk Elephant.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy because for anyone who doesn't know, that's like an expensive brand.
Yep. I have
one
Drunk Elephant product because that's all I can afford.
Well, I was looking it up. And so a standard size of Drunk Elephant's Lala Retro Nourishing Whipped Refillable Moisturizer is $62.
Yeah.
So
I like their nighttime serum, but it's fucking expensive.
It's for people who need skincare because they're aging into yeah, skincare.
And it's like, also like quite strong. Like
yeah.
it's really strong stuff. Like the chemical formations of it is like intense. That's why it's so expensive, because it's like highly concentrated.
Yeah. So that's kind of another thing that a bunch of these like Sephora and Ulta employees have been getting into is that these girls are buying like retinol,
yeah.
which is intense. And, you know, in the first video, she talks about it. Like they're buying stuff that their skin doesn't actually need and might actually be kind of bad for their skin. Like to be a 10-year-old girl putting a retinol on, retinol is very intense.
Yeah.
Like you have to like be diligent about how you put it on. And like, mm-hmm. I know when I first started using it, I got the like dry skin, like shedding of mm-hmm. retinol. I've had to actually stop using my retinol because it's contributed to my chronic incurable dry eye.
Oh, wow.
So
I feel like we need a bingo thing every time you mention your chronic incurable dry eye. And every time I mention that I'm on a dating app.
it just comes up naturally.
I will say it's so funny that the first creator talked about concealer because in the video she's putting on an ungodly amount of concealer.
Yeah.
I'm like, she does not need that much concealer.
Yeah, she's putting a huge amount of concealer under
on
her
most
eyes.
Most of her face.
Concealing the whole face.
Yeah, I know. It just reminds me of like, my friends used to roast me, which is like a whole other fucking part of my toxic college experience. But they used to roast me because I would like highlight most of the paragraph of, like in the readings and stuff. And they're like, Millie, like, just fuck it. Like, you're highlighting the whole thing. Just, like, make better notes. And that just reminds me of how this woman is using concealer.
Yeah, she's concealing the entire face.
The face, which is, like, whatever.
So, yeah, they're getting Drunk Elephant products, which are really expensive. The other brands that they really like are Glow Recipe, which I looked up, like, a Glow Recipe Plump Hyaluronic Cream. The standard size will run you about $40.
Yeah.
And then Rare Beauty, shout out,
Selena Gomez.
And Sol de Janeiro, which both of those are like kind of a better price point I was looking. But either way, I mean, I didn't have money like that going to the mall at 10.
No.
I'll say that. One of me and my dad's, like, I would say iconic fights was I was probably around 14 and I was going to meet my friends at the shopping center to go to Starbucks. And I asked for money to go to Starbucks, and he gave me $1 in quarters.
No, yeah, like, you're done. That's a fuck you.
It was, well, I was like, it's not enough. And he was like, coffee costs $1. And my mom had to come in and be like, she's not going to the bodega. She's going to Starbucks to buy basically also, like a milkshake.
To be fair, your dad is Cuban.
Yeah.
And your dad's probably thinking an espresso shot.
Literally.
An espresso shot is, well, I don't know about now in Miami, but it's not too far off for a dollar.
Yeah, I mean, my dad is Cuban and my grandpa owned a bodega. So I understand why he thought coffee cost $1 in quarters, but it did become, I would say, a classic Elise versus Felix argument. Up there with the time he tried to get me to get transition lenses in my glasses.
I lost that. I lost that. But I did have transition.
I stood firm. I said, it's not cool. And he was like, no one can tell. And I was like, everyone can tell.
I had transition lenses.
I'm sorry and I'll say that happened.
I'll say that I got bright green frames because I liked the Beanie Baby that it was displayed next to. And I thought if I got those frames, I will get that Beanie Baby.
But you thought it was like a free Beanie Baby that came with the frames?
And it wasn't, so I just had green glasses, which actually now, iconic.
Yeah.
But I had round green glasses.
With a transition lens.
I mean, there was no hope.
That's tough.
And, you know, I went to school in Miami, like, it was
the lenses rough. Were transitioning.
Yeah. The lenses were transitioning. I mean, there was no other path for me but to become a comedian. And, yeah. and whatever, because it was not easy. I'll say, okay, go back to the discourse, mm-hmm. though. The thing is that children will always be curious about, or will always try to emulate what adults do and what they see. But, like, yeah, the thing is Sephora, and the reason why Sephora is so egregious is because it is, like, one of the higher end, like, it is where you can get Gucci perfume,
yeah,
all this stuff, like the highest end things. There are things that cost hundreds of dollars in Sephora, whereas, like, you know, me right now, I'm broke. You could go to the dollar store, and the dollar store has a good selection of, you know, Maybelline, NYX cosmetics, even beauty supplies. You can get NYX, like, yeah. ELF. Those are things where the price points are about $8 or $6 or $3. And you can experiment and play, because I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with children wanting to experiment and play with makeup. But I think that, you know, whereas, like, a Rare Beauty concealer, which I use, is, like, I think it's like $30 a stick.
Yeah, I was looking at Rare Beauty and stuff, and it's like everything kind of starts at like $25.
Yeah, but those are things that, you know, maybe people use every day. But like for me, like a Rare Beauty concealer will last a long time because I'm not using a lot. And also they're like really heavy coverage. So
yeah,
it's strong. It's
so, like, okay, you just hit on a bunch of different points of this discourse all in one.
Well,
so the first thing I do want to show you is, like, okay, so I think one of the big issues is that because Sephora is actually a store that previously has been geared towards adults, there is a decorum in the Sephora that mm-hmm. is not being followed. So here's a video. We don't even need sound for this one. But just to show you, like, what how these kids are, like, leaving the Sephora.
Wow. Sephora has become the new Claire's.
And so, yeah, they're leaving the testers, like, completely nasty and, like. So it's just to show you, like, they're leaving the testers really nasty, which sucks for people who want to use them for their general purpose. I mean, they're kids, so they just don't have, like, the awareness of, okay, when you use a tester, you don't, like, destroy it.
Well, and the tester is good. Like, first of all, you know, you're not supposed to put, if there's an eyeshadow tester, you're not necessarily, the decorum is, right, you're not supposed to put the eyeshadow on your eye because you don't know whose hands or whatever, but it is good to swatch it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes you put it on your skin and you're like, oh, this isn't, especially like with darker skin, oh, wow, this isn't really showing as well. Or this is, I want to feel the texture of this product to see if it's worth it and stuff. That's why they're there.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're supposed to be applying the makeup from the testers, but it's important to have good testers so that you can compare them. I mean, that is the testers is kind of the whole point of the in-person experience. As we're talking about how all these brick and mortar stores have fucking gone out of business and like are, you know, out of commission and stuff. The point of if you buy something online, you're not getting the testers. You don't know how the product looks. That's the reason you go in store. And if the in-store experience is being ruined, that has to be hurting business in another way too.
Yeah. And I mean, I have people in my life who are like Sephora women who they go into the brick and mortar store. They have questions. They want to use the testers. Mm-hmm. They have the points system. Sephora has like that big point system. They know all about like the different like freebies that you're going to get and stuff. It's like the adult women that I know who are serious about Sephora are very serious about Sephora. So having it be like overtaken by people, kids who don't know the rules and the decorum, like, I understand. And it seems like it happened relatively recently, but that gets into this thing that you were kind of talking about, which is like, kids are always going to emulate adults.
Yeah.
Right now on social media, Get Ready With Me videos, makeup videos are huge on TikTok. So I think a lot of these little girls are watching adult women do their makeup routine, and then they're like, okay, I want to do that. And then another really interesting part of this like discourse to me is that basically people started coming on to say like, there's no place for tweens anymore. Like there's no, like Claire still technically exists, but there's no, like when we were growing up, it was like Claire's, Limited Too. There were all these places.
Delia's,
exactly. Like, there were places for tween girls that also, like, the models were tween girls. The pictures, like, it was, like, there was a place for you in society. And now, even though Claire's exists, like, I don't think it's, like, cool to go there anymore. And Claire's used to have, you know, little mini makeup kits and stuff where you could, like you said, like, as a kid, experiment with makeup and start learning about how to apply your makeup. But you're not buying super expensive, fancy skincare products that are made for adult women who are like doing a full beat for their like day to day life.
Yeah, or for whatever. I think like, yeah, and those makeup kits, the important thing about them is that I remember like the lipsticks and the eyeshadow, they're not super pigmented. They're like softer on the skin. They're more delicate for children.
Yeah.
So it's not, again, as dangerous, you know, whereas like, you know, maybe you're buying this expensive eyeshadow from Sephora or MAC, but those eyeshadows are really intense and like you only need a little bit to like goes a long way. But if you're a kid and you're playing around with it, you don't know that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to think about when I started to wear makeup like on a day-to-day basis, and I would say like middle school, high school type time. And I was getting like drugstore makeup, like whatever. I think sometimes I would get fun stuff from Claire's and sometimes I would get stuff from Hot Topic when we were, of course, you know. I remember I got like a blue mascara that I thought was very cool. I was like, my eyelashes will be blue.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's normal for little girls to like, you know, around that age to start being like, okay, do I want to wear makeup? But I think what has caused all of this discourse is them doing it in like what has been traditionally been an adult space for adult women.
A luxury
women.
Adult space, not yes. just adult space, a luxury adult space, which even Ulta, like, you know, it's not, you know, even Ulta doesn't have that like a luxury connotation that a Sephora has.
Yeah. And when you think about like the people who actually work at Sephora, they're kind of like, they're like makeup experts.
They
and you're
are,
supposed
are.
To be able to go to them and really talk to them about like, this is my skin, this is my routine, I want to do a look like this. You can get your makeup done there if you want. Like, they're actually experts in the products. And so a lot of the videos from employees are like, I'm being surrounded by 12-year-olds who are just screaming drunk elephant at me when I really, like, that's not why I do this job. Yeah, I do this job because I actually really enjoy makeup and, like, being around makeup, and I have a knowledge base about this. And when they tell a kid, like, that's actually retinol, you don't need that, they'll be like, fuck you, take my quarters.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, that gets into a whole other conversation around people being like, the parents need to, you know, watch these kids at the mall. I do think it's, like, kind of a sacred rite of, like, tweendom to be dropped off at the mall.
Yeah.
So I do want to protect that for the tweens. Like, I don't.
Well, malls are kind of dying, though, too.
I know. And I'm like, part of me was like, oh, it is nice to know that, like, people are, like, tweens are still being dropped off at the mall and, like, behaving poorly. Because I definitely got dropped off at the mall and ran amok in the mall.
Yeah.
But I didn't have any money.
Yeah.
That was the thing, is that I wasn't a customer anywhere.
The mall was, like, 20 minutes away. Like, the mall was not that close. Like, we had shopping centers and stuff. But, yeah, it's just...
Oh, the mall was big in
Northern Virginia, I would say. In Florida, but still, it was like...
Shout out Fair Oaks Mall. Shout out Fair Oaks Mall. But I was never in the Sephora. I would be in the Claire's.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when I started, like, when I kind of started to learn about what Sephora was. And I feel like that wasn't until, like, maybe senior year of high school, but definitely college is when I started getting into Sephora and Mac. And my favorite was going in and on a when it was dead and asking questions of, like, what looks good on my skin tone? Like,
yeah.
How do I apply this? What do you recommend? And, like, really being able to ask questions, which is the point. So it just is, like, too bad that, you know, it's just
ridiculous. Yeah. So one TikToker, Stephanie Chen, posted a video basically proposing that Sephora and Ulta start creating standalone stores that are focused on tweens. So she kind of compared it to, like, when Victoria's Secret did Pink.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, there was Victoria's Secret, which had, like, sexy stuff. And then there was Pink that had, like, board shorts that said Pink on them.
Yeah.
Which is a huge difference.
And yeah, they also had the, like, Limited and Limited too.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they were basically saying, like, you know, they should have a tween component. But I wonder, I guess my question is, like, has that train already left the station because the tweens... I feel like when we were growing up, there was a sacredness to tweendom. There was something cool. Hmm. Like, I felt like there was a lot of media and different stuff geared towards being a tween. And now, because there isn't, like, will the tween girls want to go to tween Sephora? Or are they like, no, I want to go to the adult Sephora with the women?
I wonder, like, I wonder if it's a situation of, like, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
But also, like, it's just so hard to, like, have a new brick and mortar store now that it's just difficult to wrap my head around that. But also, I'm like, you know, if it had some kind of interactive component of, like, you can have your birthday party there, or you could do, like, they could teach, you know, because little... Makeup is cool. Like, I understand a 7-year-old wanting to, you know, put eyeshadow and glitter and all that stuff and, like, whatever. But, like, yeah, it's like, can there be a safe space geared to, like, make it interactive and fun where they can purchase products and actually do, like, some kind of shit? Like, I bet you there's opportunity available there and stuff. I know there's going to always be appeal to go to the Sephora, the real Sephora, but, like, I think right now the thing is that there's nothing for them, or it's really limited, and we need to start developing more space for them so we can redirect.
Yeah, I do feel like it can be done, especially if, like you said, it becomes a place where, like, they maybe have more testers and they work with, like they learn how to apply makeup there, and it's a little bit more, like, free with everything. I mean they said that, like, a lot of the girls just buy products because they're pink, which,
yeah,
you know, that is very tween girl to be. So if they make it super bright, it's all colorful stuff, like, I think it could be done. I have a pet theory that this kind of loss of tween culture is all related to the, it all comes back to the internet. And that all the generations have too much interaction with each other. And like, it's, I feel like I see it all the time with like the Gen Z millennial wars when I'm like, when I was in high school in my 20s, I don't think I had not a thought in my mind
Gen X,
for what 30-year-olds were doing, what they were wearing, what their culture was, what they thought about anything. I did not have, I really genuinely don't think that I like interacted with a 30-year-old who wasn't a teacher or a member of my own family until I moved to New York, like after college.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that intergenerational feuds are always going to happen. And I think that a lot of relationships and wisdom is beautiful. But at the same time, yeah, it's like, it's too, sometimes it's too much, or it's just
we're
like,
too connected. We're too with connected. Each other.
And it's like, yeah, I don't want to be able to see, you know, that's the whole thing about Twitter. It's like, I shouldn't see a 21-year-old's thoughts. Like,
I totally do. And I don't, like, yeah.
don't need to see this. This is a lot.
Yeah, this is, you are working through your 21-year-old thoughts, yeah, and you should work through them with other 21-year-olds. I don't need to see, and I'm so glad that 30-year-olds in general were not subjected to my 21-year-old thoughts.
And also, like, and vice versa, I want to have 30-year-old conversations.
Yeah.
Not with 21-year-olds around. Again, I'm referring to pooping in public, which is like...
not in public, public restroom.
But if I have to poop, like, I don't, you know, in, you know, which is a whole fight I had recently online with this girl who's could not be older than 21.
Had to be.
She's just like, I'm trying to do my lip gloss and people are pooping in my work bathroom. And it's like, people need to use the bathroom.
Poop.
They gotta poop.
People like, gotta poop.
You know, and like, again, I can see when I was 21 thinking that pooping is disgusting at work.
That you can't poop at work.
That you can't poop at work.
I think I thought that at 21.
Yeah, and like, I should be able to do my makeup and ew, poop is gross. And like, women don't poop, blah, blah, blah. Now... hell no. Like,
no, if I'm at work and I have to poop, I'm gonna poop. I'll be vulnerable and share this story, which I think I shared with you once, but one time I was in the bathroom at work when I worked at the Y, and I had to poop and I farted, and two teenage girls were in the bathroom and they laughed at me. They laughed at me. And I said, like, where was I supposed to fart?
Yeah, no,
where was I supposed to fart?
That is the place.
And I came out of the stall, and they didn't even have the decency to leave before I came out of the stall. Because I took my time in there hoping that we wouldn't interact because I heard them laugh at me, and I had seen the teens, and I didn't want to see them. They did not have the decency. And so when I got out, and they looked at me again, and they laughed again, I said nothing to them. But in my heart, I said, this will come back to you one day. And one day you will fart. And a teenager will laugh at you and you will say, what was I supposed to do? I work here.
Yo.
I had to fart. This is where I work.
This is what I'm saying. But this is what I'm saying. We should not be interacting. We should not be.
And that's why.
And that's the thing.
I was too close. I should have been in a different bathroom from them.
For real. So, honestly, for real.
So that's kind of like my pet theory about it is I feel like it's a result of all the generations being too We have too much contact, and I think we need to bring back the sacredness of being a tween and silo the tween off again.
Also, like...
because it's a beautiful thing to be a tween. You got
mail. Audible's best of 2024 picks are here. Discover the year's top audiobooks, podcasts, and originals in all your favorite genres. From memoirs and sci-fi to mysteries and thrillers, Audible's curated list in every category is the best way to hear 2024's best in audio entertainment. Like a stunning new full cast production of George Orwell's 1984. Heartfelt memoirs like Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's Lovely One. The year's best fiction like The Women by Kristen Hanna. And Percival Everett's brilliantly subversive James. Audible. There's more to imagine when you listen. Go to audible.com/imagine and discover all the year's best waiting for you.
You know that feeling when your favorite brand really gets you? Deliver that feeling to your customers every time. Memorable moments like these are key to building your business and your brand. Klaviyo turns your customer data into real-time connections across AI-powered email, SMS, and more, making every moment count so you can continue to build smarter, more meaningful relationships with your customers. Build smarter digital relationships with your customers and make every moment count with Klaviyo. Learn more at klaviyo.com/BFCM.
You got mail. I feel like you're a teen and a tween for such a limited amount of time. It's only 2 or 3 years. And then after you're 18, you're an adult for the rest of your fucking life. And hopefully, yeah. God bless, God willing, and I'm saying this as a Buddhist, so, but like, hopefully, you know, you're an adult for 70 years. You know?
Yeah.
You live till 90. You're going to be an adult for most of your life. Like, enjoy not being an adult. Right. Enjoy not having to fucking look at how to do your makeup on, you know what I mean? And all this
Yeah,
shit.
Enjoy like, not having to go through the retinol purge on your skin and all of that stuff. And yeah, exactly. Like, there will be such a short period of time that you get to be at the tween Sephora. It's so special.
I know.
And then you're just at adult Sephora forever.
And then you're like figuring out if you can afterpay.
Yeah, exactly. then you're trying to get the drunk elephant with Klarna.
Yeah, like,
exactly. It's not fun.
It's not fun.
But so if any Sephora execs are listening, the discourse is discoursing on this. Yeah. And you should do a tester tween Sephora.
And use us to sponsor.
Yeah, and bring us in. Because tweens do love us.
Tweens love us. They think we're the funniest thing.
They think we're extremely cool.
You know what's so funny is that one of my friends was like, thank you for this podcast. My niece, like, I don't have anything to talk about. She was Gen X. And she's like, you know, I'm not really plugged into shit. And my niece, she's 14, asked me what I thought about Gypsy Rose. And I'm like, I don't know who the fuck that is. And then I listened to the podcast and I was like, whoa, I do have an opinion on this. And this is what this podcast is
for. And that's why we log in. And that's so you can log off. Wow.
All right. Well, for this next segment.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited.
Cursed content.
Everyone's favorite segment on the podcast.
So our segment, this is the segment where we share content that reminds us of the terrible realities of this world. It reminds us that things are dark. Things are scary.
It's fucked up out here.
It's fucked up out here. And Elise, I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Have you heard of the Orange Peel Challenge?
No.
You never heard of the Orange Peel Challenge?
Well, maybe I know what it is. I may have seen my first Orange Peel Challenge video today. Is it women seeing if their boyfriend will peel an orange for them?
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes. I watched my first one of these today. Absolutely. Immediately upon waking up, because as I said on the In Case You Missed It podcast, which we're on this week.
Yeah.
I am one of those people who looks at their phone immediately. And the first thing that I watched was this video.
So let's watch. So basically, yeah, the Orange Peel Challenge is when someone, usually women, secretly record their partners, you know, her husband, boyfriend, and ask them, hey, can you peel an orange for me? Or, you know, and the point is to ask your partner to do something that you're perfectly capable of doing yourself. Mm-hmm. So our cursed content comes from TikTok user Shelby Wilfong, who participated in the Orange Peel Challenge.
I wonder if this is the one that I watched.
Probably this is. Let's watch it.
I really want an orange right now.
All right, try here, but I got you, buddy. Here you go.
Go get me it? No. Yeah. But, like, I really want it, but, like, I hate peeling it.
You hate peeling it?
Yeah. Right, it just gets really messy.
Okay.
And I have nails. It'll get, like, underneath them.
Tough luck, buddy. Go ahead and do her.
You're not going to peel it for me?
Dude, okay. As if I don't do enough.
Seriously?
Yeah. I'm being for real. Okay?
You can't fucking peel this orange for me.
Dude, I ask you to do things all the time.
I do everything. I just did your fucking laundry.
No.
And you can't peel this for me?
Dude, come on, man.
Seriously?
No. Figure your life out, dude. It's not all about what your man can do for you. It's about what you can do for yourself, right?
No, but like, a good boyfriend would peel this for me, right, or like do something for me that I'm perfectly capable of. Obviously I can peel this, but like, if
a great boyfriend would tell you to do it yourself. I'm not a good boyfriend. I'm a great one. And I'm trying to make you strong and independent and build you up as a female.
Well, that's the point. That's I can do it myself, but like the point is that you would do it for me.
Yeah.
As like an act of service.
But then you wake up and you realize, you know, that you can actually just do it yourself. And like, you're not even that special. That's the thing. It's like, get that in your fucking skull, dude.
That
you're really not that
special.
The first
thing that I saw when I opened my eyes this morning.
Even I'll just feel this energy on myself.
All right, go ahead. Took you long enough.
Clearly, this has caused a lot of discourse. And this and you know, again, to me, it's cursed because this is, you know, first of all, that video has 1.7 million likes. So I'm sure that when you said the orange peel thing, I'm like, if you've heard of it, you've seen that one. And I have to say, even though it's not okay if anyone speaks to you this way, I just want to note that Shelby is gorgeous.
Yeah, it is.
She's beautiful.
She's extremely, and again, like I always say, we will post all of the source things on the @GoTouchGrassPod Instagram. The daily episode comes out so you can see this beautiful woman.
This beautiful woman.
There's also, just side note, like an ASMR quality to her nails on the orange.
And she does.
That was very pleasing, I felt.
Yeah, and she does have like long acrylics, so it wouldn't be irrational for her to need help with, because when you use your nails for oranges, it is hard, you know? So, but again, okay, even if she wasn't gorgeous, this is still wrong. But there are so many guys out here. I mean, the harsh reality that this like illuminates in this cursed content is that there are so many guys out here in relationships with women they can't stand. And it's really because they hate themselves so much that they resent anyone who loves them. And he was, you know, hello. Oof. Hello. When you hate yourself, you hate people who love you. Because that's how much you hate yourself. And he was gaslighting her. And it didn't go from like, you know, again, you would have thought she was asking him for $10,000. You would have thought she was asking him for a kidney. She was asking him to peel fucking orange for her. And he goes from zero. He goes to, you're not that fucking
you're
special.
You're not that fucking special is really
over
rough.
Over peeling an orange?
So I have a theory about this video. Because obviously, okay. So she's like sitting in front of her phone. So I do think he, like, knows this interaction is being filmed to some degree. Like, I think he can tell it's a setup. And my feeling on the video is that it starts off lighthearted. Like, he's like, no, I'm not going to, or whatever. And then slowly throughout the course of the video, you watch it, like, kind of become a real fight because she wasn't expecting him to just say no and, like, double down on the saying no. And then he takes it, like, there's a type of guy who idealizes this idea of, like, hating your girlfriend and being mean to your girlfriend. So he recognizes that this is a video. He knows he's being filmed, and he makes the choice actively that the part I'm going to play in this video is guy who won't peel an orange for my girlfriend, and then I'm going to take it far enough to say, you're not fucking special.
I don't know, Elise. I disagree. I think that there's a few trigger words that says that he is consuming content that is, like, the way that he said, female. I'm going to make you a strong and independent female. I'm going to build you up. I'm a great boyfriend. Like, that kind of gaslighting, it's giving Andrew Tate, it's giving red pill content. It's giving somebody who you know, has these toxic views to women. A TikToker that I really love called Cecilia, or @CeciliaRegina275. She analyzes videos like this, and she has a lot to say. And, you know, one of her biggest, which I fucking agree with, is like one of her biggest theories or things, like pinnacles, is that she says men are the biggest gold diggers in the world. But it's not just money. It's your time, labor, and whatever. And she has this whole theory about how, like, men want to enter in relationships where they are getting all the benefit, you know, and like they don't want to put up anything, or like if they have to do something for you, then it becomes like not good for them, you know. It's not a good situation
for them. Well, so I agree that like he's displaying like, yeah, Andrew Tate ideology, the females is a big checkpoint situation.
Strong, independent women, which is like, you're not her dad.
So I agree, but my feeling about it is that he knows he's being filmed. He knows that this is one of those little, like, TikTok tests that happened. Because there was one recently that was like, ask your husband or your boyfriend to name a woman, and if he says anyone other than you, whatever. Like, or even like the Roman Empire thing, yeah, like film your boyfriend. So I think he knows that he's being filmed for kind of like a cute TikTok thing, and he's actively making the choice to be like, the person I want to come off as is a guy who talks to his girlfriend like this, is a guy who like tells his girlfriend she's not fucking special, and a guy who thinks that this is like a strong, cool way to be.
The thing is, there's this subgenre of women showing themselves in terrible relationships. And then when they get backlash, or when people are like, you need to break up with him, this is toxic, they're like, well, you're just jealous because this and that. Or, you know, you don't know my man. And then
it was funny, actually.
It's actually funny that he treated me like this. I'll say, in Shelby's defense, she hasn't, as of this morning, she hasn't said anything about him. She hasn't, defended. I haven't seen anything. So, I'm sure she didn't expect the thing to go viral. We'll see. Whatever. But that is a common genre, and it is cursed.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Two thoughts. Number one is, I feel like you can see when you watch the video, it dawned on her. Because, again, I think when it starts, you can tell she's a little more, just rehearsed, in the way she's talking.
Wow,
I really want an orange, but I can't, whatever. And you can see it dawn on her over the course of the video, not only is he not going to peel the orange for me, he's going to be a real dick about it. Yeah. And, he's going to be disrespectful to me. And in my personal theory, they both know that it's being filmed, kind of. So she's like, wow, so he's going to be on video being like this to me. And, you can kind of see it dawning on her. Number two, have you ever seen the one, the video in this genre that really got me is the one with the puzzle. And there's this woman who she, lifts up a puzzle that's, a 1,000-piece puzzle.
That she
clearly just finished. And then her husband comes in and punches it and destroys the puzzle. And she looks so sad, and that went super viral. And again, it was a bunch of people being like, you should break up with him if he's going to punch your puzzle. And then that girl did respond, and she was like, it was funny, I told him to punch the puzzle. And I'm like, I don't know.
No, you didn't. What do you want us to do? So there's this whole, and there's this whole genre of people replying to, and this is the same thing with the guys who destroy their wedding cake, the guys who make shitty wedding vows and all this stuff. And then the girls come on here and defend. In 2024, there's this whole movement of, in 2024, you know what? Good for you. If you want to be in that kind of relationship, good for you. But don't ask. But that's just a cursed thing that we see all the time of, not only do people exist in this, but people will share it, think it's okay, and get upset at anyone who's like, hey, you don't need to accept this kind of treatment.
It's very it's such an interesting psychological experiment, because if the woman's sharing it to be like, I think he's an asshole too, and I broke up with him after this, it's one thing. But in the case of the puzzle, I feel like it's this weird thing where they know it wasn't cool, but they also don't want to admit that their relationship is bad and that they're with someone who would punch their puzzle. So,
honestly, when I'm looking for someone and it's really fucking hard, I want to date someone who, if you're like, hey, could you peel an orange for me? They're like, of course.
Yeah.
Because I love Millie so much.
Yeah, Millie's sitting here with her beautiful nails right now. If she said, would you peel this orange for me? I would say, yeah, I would. I kind of do a bad job. I often kind of mess up the orange when I peel it, but I'll do it for you.
Danny
would peel an orange for you.
But that's what I'm saying. Danny would peel an orange for you, but Danny would peel an orange because I'm your friend. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's what I'm saying,
Yeah.
And it's you won't even peel an orange for that. So it's fucking cursed. There's some dark energy with this man. And, in 2024, let's release, these guys hate themselves. Let's release them. If you don't want to peel an orange for me, that's fine.
Yeah.
You can go peel an orange. And you know what? I bet you she leaves him and he's gonna be crying and all.
He's gonna be like, "Oh, she's dating someone else who'll peel an orange for her."
You know, and it's just like,
I did every. No, you know what? Actually, that guy will be like, I don't know what happened. She broke up with me out of nowhere. Nothing.
Out of nowhere.
There was not a single sign. She totally blindsided me, bro. I did everything for that girl.
That's the thing is that these guys, I mean, that's fucking 500 Days of Summer.
Yeah.
It's like, it came out of nowhere. It came out of nowhere. And it's just like, or also, like, to be honest, this is really, really dark and cursed. But bitch, Chicago. She said, don't fucking chew gum in my house. You got shot. Yep. Like,
it was the last straw. Yeah, the murderers row. And yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Like, the murder, the all these women on death row, it's like, he had it coming.
He had it coming.
All of it is snapped. Like, all snapped episodes are these guys who wouldn't peel a fucking orange for a girl. And then she asked him, and she's doing everything, and she's doing everything. And then one day, he popped popcorn too loud. Yeah,
that is actually such a good... He had it come in monologue to be like, one day I came home and I asked my man Marcus if he would peel an orange for me. And he said, no. He said, you're not that special, he said.
Oh, special. Special, huh? Well, then that's when I got my ex. And I said.
Like that actually, someone should work on that.
And you know what? And I'll be in the crowd like, he had it coming.
Yeah, I'll be like, you know what? And again, I agree with these ladies and I love this number.
And again, Go Touch Grass has to say, Murder's wrong.
We said it in the last time. We'll say it again.
We have to say it. We value life. As a Buddhist, life is so valuable and precious and important. But also, I'm just saying. I can understand how you get there. Well, Elise.
Yes.
So that's our cursed content.
Wow. And it was cursed.
And you know what? We're going to stay here. We're going to stay here in this space. Because speaking of terrible men, we have our grasshole of the week.
I can't wait to find out who he is.
So grasshole of the week is a segment where we say, sometimes kindly, sometimes lovingly, get offline.
Mm-hmm.
Go outside, go touch some grass, go connect with humanity, go sometimes lovingly and sometimes not so lovingly.
Yeah.
And our grasshole of the week takes us into the muddy, treacherous waters of Facebook.
Oh my god. Oh, a shiver went down my spine. We're going to Facebook.
The thunder.
Oh boy.
Meta. In the land of dating apps and in the land of dating outside of your network, you're encountering a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm.
And that I feel like we've mentioned this in passing, definitely in the West Elm Caleb, but there are groups titled Are We Dating the Same Guy? There are Facebook groups and you know, basically the way that this works is that you go on all the, are we dating the same guy? And sometimes they have a lot of members.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few, you know, and someone will post, you know, a picture of a guy and say, hey, I just broke up with this guy. He sucks. Don't date him. With his first name. There's another kind of thing is like, too. Another way is like someone can say, hey, I just started dating this guy. Does anyone know him? And then maybe someone will comment, hey, I know that guy. He sucks. Or like, that's my coworker. He's really great. Or that's my brother. That's my friend's brother. You know, it works both ways.
Yeah.
And another way that it works is sometimes people will post their own partner. And it's like, hey, this is my husband. I feel like something sketchy is going on. Has anyone heard anything of, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, actually, this guy's dating my friend. You know, that has happened. All three has happened. They're really, that group has a lot of strong moderators. It's nothing about like, oh, this guy's ugly. Oh, his job. Oh, this. They don't allow that. That's like mm-hmm. a hard and fast rule. It's mostly for like warning people about, you know, dangerous men.
Yeah.
So the group right now, again, the mission is to protect people from bad dates and relationships. It has expanded to more than 120 separate regional groups since it was created in March 2022. In New York City. So it started in Are We Dating the Same Guy in New York? And now it's like Dallas, Seattle, all this stuff. So anyway, Elise, the grasshole of the week is 33-year-old Nico D'Ambroso.
Wow.
Who, after finding out that his first name and photo was shared in the Chicago Are We Dating the Same Guy group, saying that he's not a great guy to date, with some calling him clingy, and another anonymous person says he kept flaunting money, saying you don't want to, he kept threatening, saying like, you don't want to know my bad side. And ooh, other people saying that he ghosted them after sex. So these are things about Nico D'Ambroso. Well, Nico is suing 30 women, almost 30 ooh, women, you know, which is like the, you know, including like the people who moderate the original Are You Dating the Same?
That's like the opposite of a class action. Well, he's suing 30
women. He's suing 30 women, Meta, GoFundMe, and Patreon
wow,
for almost $75 million for significant, quote, significant emotional distress, stress, disruption to his life, economic harm,
economic and the fear, harm,
because he feels like he lost out business opportunity, and the fear of serious bodily injury at the hands of one of the group's thousands of unidentified members. So this is, you know, so again,
$75 million.
And the reason why he's suing Meta, GoFundMe, and Patreon is that the original creators of Are We Dating the Same Guy had a GoFundMe / Patreon because they were raising money to create a safe platform, like kind of an app situation away from Facebook. So that's what you know, that was involved. But like those things have nothing to do with him specifically. But the point is that, you know, he wants to shut all of it down, you know. And in the lawsuit, he says that he had a consensual relationship with this one woman and it didn't go anywhere. And then she posted defamatory things about him in the group. But in the lawsuit, when he's trying to show the screenshot of the evidence, he couldn't post the update, the screenshot of the bad thing that she posted. All he posted was a screenshot of this woman's Facebook profile showing that she's a member of the group. And then he claims that she deleted the post and reposted it anonymously because anonymously there was a post that said like those things about he was flaunts his money. And so he can't prove though that that was the anonymous post and that, you know, and again, even if she was the anonymous post, she wasn't defaming him. She was just saying, I did not have an experience with a good experience with this guy.
Which I think, so we talked about this a little bit on our West Elm Caleb search history. And I do think, you know, there's often something that feels squicky about like seeing written down and formalized things that people have been doing informally for a long time. Yeah. But like, it's not new for women to go to each other and be like, I went on a date with that guy and it was not a good date and he was really rude. And I mean, saying you don't want to see my bad side is like genuinely a scary thing.
Yeah, and he's like, specifically when he's like, specifically in business situations.
Oh, yeah, well, but I
like,
mean,
even that's like so nerdy.
It's also very funny to like immediately do something that confirms all the stuff that this
well, yeah, no, and like one of the screenshots in his, one of the screenshots in the evidence is of him, like supposedly, right? Like, the woman, he's like, oh, this woman defamed me and whatever. And she made a fake screenshot of our conversation. And in the screenshot, it's him being like, listen, you ugly gap, like crooked tooth whore. Like, no one likes you. You can't even smile properly. This and that, blah, blah, blah. Like, so she was sharing that. And he's like, she made that up. But so it's like, okay, this doesn't look good for you. One. And two, I think that the thing is, back in the day, when you were dating people mostly in your network, it was easier to get around that, like, hey, don't date this guy. He kind of sucks. But with the rise of dating apps, it's way easier to meet a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Like, that are outside of your network and meet, and like, you could kind of start over and all this stuff. So that's why there has to be like some kind of Facebook groups. But, and this is all written on the news. Like, they interviewed his lawyers, who look like fucking assholes.
Well, they want money.
Yeah.
Like, they...
Well, they're like, this is a new movement, and, like, these things are dangerous for men. It's kind of like the backlash to, like, these women doing whisper networks to avoid abusers, and it's like, they don't want these to exist at all.
Well, it reminds me of, like, Me Too era when that like bad media men list exactly. went around and people were very freaked out about what that was going to do to people. Newsflash, people who are on that list are still working in media today.
Well, exactly.
But the other thing that reminds me of it, I don't know if you remember this because it was such a short-lived thing, but it like looms large in my mind because it like it impacted me. But there was an app years ago.
Lola.
Exactly,
I remember Lola.
Where you could rate guys and like say stuff about them. And
it was like Yelp for guys.
Yeah. And I remember at the time I was in an on again, off again relationship with the guy who would be like the worst guy I ever dated. Mm-hmm. Millie knows immediately who I'm talking about.
Well, I don't because you date a lot of bad guys. But so do I.
This is
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
And I remember we were like off at that point, but I had suspected that he had been like seeing other girls while we were on. And so I looked for him on Lola. And he had one review, and it was really bad.
Well.
And I remember being like, and I was so, like, shook by his one bad review on Lola because it was also this person saying all of this stuff that
rang true
for my experience with this person. And then I remember that out of the blue, because he was, like, alternately ghosting me and not ghosting me. It was a very early 20s relationship with someone who was fully 30. But he texted me to be like, just so you know, I am on this app. Someone has written something negative about me on this app, and I just like I just wanted you to know like that's not true, and like, and I was like, and then I would spend the next year finding out how true it was.
Yeah.
But I also remember that there was this one dude who, this was back on Facebook, who I guess had been rated on Lola, but he had been rated really high. Like, it literally, he had like, they were like, huge dick, sex great, hot, whatever. But he posted his Lola profile and he was like, this app is disgusting and like it's horrible.
Oh God.
It's so horrible for people to be doing this. But then he posted his profile that said like, amazing lay, great dude, rich, hot.
Yeah, I know. Like,
and it just made me laugh so much because I was like, you literally just wanted to share that you have multiple reviews and they all say that you have a huge dick.
Well,
but you had to coach it under like, I'm horrified by this.
And this is my thing, right? But you know, one, it's like men are used to doing this shit to us all the time. They're used to like women's inherent value is how we look. If we're not a certain way, if we don't, then they will treat us accordingly.
Also, rating women online
is like common
practice.
That's
how Facebook started. There used to be hot or not and stuff. Like, it actually has been formalized for men to rate women online for a long time, for men to, you know, turn women who they think aren't hot into memes and shit.
All the time.
Like, whatever. But the formalization of the whisper network of saying, like, this guy's not great to date, it causes so much uproar every single time it happens. And honestly, like, what I'll give to this guy is, I don't begrudge you trying to get taken down, like trying to get the post taken down. Like,
but it did get the original one did get taken down, but whatever. And he's like, they doxed me because they put my first name and my thing.
But to sue 30 women, companies, $75 million, GoFundMe, it's like, this was a post in a Facebook group. If it's down, its repercussions are going to be incredibly minimal. And also, like, it's a Facebook group with a lot of active users. The original post probably would have gotten buried anyway and it would have stopped. But to immediately sue for millions and millions of dollars just goes to show that the original post was right.
True. Yeah.
About you being kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
A grasshole. Yeah.
Well, that's my thing, right? It's like, wow. Instead of using that money to go get therapy or to go figure out, hey, why am I having a hard time in dating? Or why am I not getting the results that I want? Or why? Because that is why people go to therapy and all that stuff, you know? Instead of doing that or fucking working on yourself or turning in or whatever, you're using that money, because hiring lawyers is not easy. Like, it's not cheap. It's like, you're using that money to make this whole fucking lawsuit that makes you look bad. We're going to share in the Go Touch Grass Instagram. We're going to share the account of this girl doing a deep dive in the lawsuit.
Yeah.
And it makes him look awful.
What, like, if Go Touch Grass gets added to the lawsuit?
Well, I'm going to say that we got this from, we're resharing news from Fox News.
Yeah, this is journalistic endeavor. Yeah,
and this is parody law and all that shit, so fuck
off. Yeah, this is a comedy program and it's journalism and it's, we don't have money for
money.
You.
No, we have nothing.
So, yeah.
And you can Sephora, ask me for money. If you want us to sponsor us, please do.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's why it's like Go Touch Grass, Nick, but it's also like, and also charge it to the game, dog. Like, if you don't, you just don't want repercussions for their actions. And like the lawyers were like, yeah, and there's all these men that reached out to us and they said that they were on these sites too. And it's like, wow, instead of behaving differently or doing anything differently, it's just instantly, how can we get this shut down? And it's like, how can we shut down these conversations? And the thing is, that me and you in New York would have never, ever, ever known the name Nico D'Ambroso. And neither will the thousands and thousands and millions of listeners.
Yeah. You never would have known. It would have the thing about the internet and like having a bad post about you up or having something go viral, or whatever, being included in a Facebook group like that, is you kind of just have to let it get buried by the cycle of content. If you actually want something like that to go away, if he actually wanted something like that to go away, again, you can go to the mods and try to get it taken down, whatever. But the best way to not end up the subject of a podcast or whatever as a segment and to have multiple news articles written about you and stuff is to just, like you said, charge it to the game.
Well, this guy, if he went to go touch grass, if he heard about these things, first of all, fuck the person who told him about the post.
Yeah.
There's ops in every group, and I'm going to say right now, fuck you. Like, if you're in those groups, don't be snitching. Like, that's not cool. But I'll also say this. If Nico was like, you know what? I'm just going to charge it to the game. I would have never known, but because he fucking sued, now instead of 80,000 people in Chicago knowing that he sucks, now the whole fucking world knows that, and he's forever going to be the guy who sued the are we dating the same guy. And this is the first thing you type his fucking name on Google and it's 20 articles about this shit.
It's very Streisand effect. It's like this is going to bring way more negative attention to you than the original post is, because I guess he said, whatever, he lost a business deal. I'm like, okay, first of all, how could that be true? Well, what business deal? With whom? Because there's a post saying, like, you weren't a good date or whatever. But number two, it's like, now this is...
make you great in business.
That, there's no way, at least, I feel like a Facebook post doesn't typically come up on a Google result.
Not a closed, like, yeah, and also the are you we dating the same guy things, you have to, like, fill out an application to be even allowed in the group.
Yeah,
like, so it's like, they don't just let anyone in because of shit like
you took something out of a closed Facebook group that would have eventually been buried and not been traced back to you, and you probably could have continued being a bad date unencumbered within a month.
Well, and if somebody was dating and was like, hey, just so you know, I was on this, I kind of heard the feedback and I took it and I like improved and stuff. You know what I mean?
Or pull what the dude did with me and he was like, I was on this. She's a liar. Make it whatever. Do what you got to do. But to blow it up like this is very grasshole behavior.
So, Nico, go touch some fucking grass. Yeah, go touch grass, Nico. Go talk to a therapist. Go outside. Get offline. Absolutely. Get off the red pill. Just stop.
Yeah, and
be,
drop
you know,
your lawsuit. But
drop
I guess...
your lawsuit. I don't know. And I'm also like, this is my thing. And this is why dating has been hard for me. But I'm like, don't date people you wouldn't peel an orange peel for.
Don't date people you wouldn't peel an orange for. That's so fucking true.
Because the thing is that he probably treated these people like shit because he was not excited about them. He didn't like them. He wanted a ghost and have sex. Guess what, Nico? You're in your 30s now. We got to date differently. If you're 22, if a guy's 22 and ghosting people and I saw that, I'd be like, okay. But dog, you're in your 30s. Don't date anybody that you wouldn't want to peel an orange for.
Don't date anybody you wouldn't want to
peel an orange for. Don't fuck anybody that you don't want to peel an orange for. And it's hard.
It's hard. Because sometimes you have to go on that initial date and say, you know what? I wouldn't peel an orange for this person. But you can still treat them with respect. You can say, I wouldn't peel an orange for you. God bless you. I hope you find the person that would peel an orange for you. Yeah, but you're going to find someone.
And exactly. And you know what? And if you operated with that, and you know, the same thing with West Elm Caleb, same thing with our 48 Oysters woman, you know?
Yeah, women can do it too.
Women do it too, where it's like, you're taking these guys on a ride and all this shit. And it's just like, or the Cheesecake Factory lady, all that stuff. Go listen to our Patreon if you want to hear more. Don't date anyone that you're not excited about, and you'll avoid a lot of stuff.
Or that you can't even muster up, like, a little bit of respect for to, like, have a nice date and a nice evening and leave things in a respectful place.
And if you're, and of course, you're not going to find things out until you get to the date, but make sure that you're asking, if you're not sure you're going to leave the date with respect, make sure you ask better screening questions. And also, yeah, like, just keep it cute. Like,
yeah.
Well,
that brings us to the end of another episode of Go Touch Grass. This week on the Patreon, we have a deep dive into Reality Von Teese, which you should, the day this comes out, the next part of the reunion will be coming out. Yeah. So get on there, listen, get all caught up, and then watch the reunion. And we've got a bunch of other trending topics, our search history series, which we referenced a lot here because we talk about West Elm Caleb and 48 Oysters and the girl who didn't want to go to Cheesecake Factory.
Because she thought she was too hot for Cheesecake Factory.
Which no one is.
No one's too hot for Cheesecake Factory.
Which we say nobody is.
No one is too hot for Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake Factory has it all.
Yeah.
And Cheesecake Factory is nice.
Yeah.
So that's another... Murder is bad. Cheesecake Factory is nice. These are official Go Touch Grass opinions. But you can check all of that out on the Patreon. And
don't forget to follow me at Millie Tamaris, Millie _ Tamaris on Instagram, at Millie Tamaris on Twitter, aka X, or Millie _ Tamaris on TikTok.
And you can follow me at Pandalise on Instagram and at Elise Navidad on TikTok.
And follow the podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything.
Leave us a 5-star rating and review.
Please, please,
you guys
please.
Know the drill. Okay, and until next time,
Go Touch Grass!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.